Matthew? Must be Matthew. No, it's not. So as we pray for our offering today, let me mention that the Deacon Board would like to begin raising money to replace our carpet in the Fellowship Hall. It's been there for many years, many years. And it just is a little bit dirty, a little bit stained, time to replace it. So we are raising money for that. We have envelopes that we've made, put by the offering plates in the back, to make it easy for you to put your money or check in there and just put it in the offering, and we'll collect that and apply it toward it. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for our offering. We thank you, Father, for the many different things that we use with that money. We thank you for the Benevolence Fund and the ministries locally that we use to help and support, especially to battered and injured and hurting women and children. Father, thank you for the missionaries that we support literally around the world who serve you, and many who are in danger. Father, we thank you for protecting them, encouraging their hearts, delivering them from evil. Thank you, Father, for the care of our building here. We don't ask very often for money, but Father, we do. We would like to replace some carpet and make some repairs to the building. Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for the faithful giving of our congregation. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Children's Church. Children, you ready? You want to hear Benjamin play first? Kids, it's up to you. Benjamin, go ahead. It's not on. Now it's on. Boy, it's hard to find good help. Oh, family, church, and state. I'm gonna review. Now let me say in beginning what's on the front of your bulletin, Ephesians chapter 5. So then be careful how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise. Get your brains going. Don't be responding emotionally to everything. I walked in the hospital room this past week and Carol was quite upset and quite agitated, and I said, turn off the TV. And it helped. Television is designed to make women discontent. Trust me. Come on, you have to buy Tide detergent. Otherwise, your life is a mess. You gotta buy whatever they're selling. Turn it off. Well, Carol just started calming down, and it helps. Meditating on Scripture. Be careful how you walk. Not as unwise people, but as wise. Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Oh, incredible passage. Singing, making melody to the Lord in your hearts. An incredible passage. Let me remind you today to begin two sermons that I've given in this church. 2013. Y'all remember that sermon, right? Most of you weren't here. 80 people have died since then from this congregation. Well, it was a sermon about the decline of the family. Nations most often fall from within. And this fall is usually due to a decline in the moral and the spiritual values in the family. As families go, so goes a nation. Now, I'm not giving the whole sermon today. I'm just giving you the outline of it quickly. So says British historian J.D. Unwin and a Russian sociologist, Sorokin. They studied civilizations that have collapsed. Both have identified the steps civilizations go through in their decline and their fall. In his book, Our Dance Has Turned to Death, Dr. Carl Wilson summarized the seven steps down in a nation. He summarized the common pattern of family decline in the ancient Greece and Roman empires. Notice how these seven stages parallel what is happening in our nation today. What step are we on? Take a guess. Number seven. But let's start with number one. Men cease to lead their families in worship. Men, how many of you prayed with your wife or your children or your grandchildren this week? Spiritual and moral development becomes secondary. We don't pray with each other. Oh, my sister and I did when she was here. Often, as we were driving, as we were coming to church, as we were going to the airport, as we were just sitting, chatting, prayed together. Men's view of God becomes naturalistic, mathematical, mechanical, evolutionistic. We're just monkeys. No, come on, that's silly. Number two, men selfishly neglect the care of their wives and children to pursue material wealth, political and military power, and cultural development. As we look at American history, it started off very, very well, as we said last week, but it has declined from World War I, when a whole multitude of young men go overseas and a whole multitude of women leave the home and go to factories out of necessity to support the war. Well, the family begins to disintegrate. Material values begin to dominate thought, and everyone begins to exalt individualism. Men change their sexual values. Men become preoccupied with business or war, and either neglect their wives or become involved with lower class women or with homosexuality. If you want to know how to develop your child into a homosexual, I have a book of psychology down in my office that will give you the 10 easy steps, maybe 12, 10 or 12 easy steps in turning a normal child into a homosexual. Maybe I should preach that sometime. Probably not. A double standard of morality developed. Number four, the role of women at home and with children loses value and status. Women are neglected, their roles devalued. Soon they revolt to gain access to material wealth and freedom outside of marriage. Women begin to minimize having children. The emphasis becomes pleasure. Marriage laws are changed to make divorce easy. Husbands and wives compete against each other for money, for home leadership, and the affection of their children. This results in hostility and frustration and the development of homosexuality in the children. Children are confused. They don't know if they're a boy or a girl or something different. Marriages end in separation and divorce. Children feel unwanted, aborted, abandoned, molested, undisciplined. The more undisciplined children become, the more social pressure there is to not have any children. Thinking of my six sons, three of them don't have any children. I asked one of them, "What's with this?" He wouldn't tell me, but it's his wife. I came to find out later that her own mother is pressuring her to have children. She's nearing 40. The time is about up when she can have children. She doesn't want them. She got two puppy dogs. What more does a woman need? Oh, no. The breakdown of the home produces anarchy in society. Number six out of seven, we're getting close to the end of a civilization here. Selfish individualism grows and is carried over into society, fragmenting it into smaller and smaller group loyalties. The nation is weakened by internal conflict. Blacks hate whites, whites hate black, and the whites and the Mexicans and the Asians and the Protestants and the Catholics. You pick your groups, fragmenting society. The decrease in the birth rate produces an older population that has less ability to defend itself and is less willing to do so, making the nation vulnerable to its enemies. When did the United States reach zero population growth? In other words, the number of people born and the number of people who are dying are the same. 1972. Before abortion killed 60 to 70 million babies, we were already at zero population growth. And the final step, unbelief in God becomes more complete. Parental authority is diminished. Just think of what's going on in the public schools today, where parents are called terrorists. Us. I don't think so. Ethical and moral principles disappear, affecting the economy, the church, the government. By internal weakness and fragmentation, society comes apart. There is no way to save the company except by a dictator who arises from within or by barbarians who invade from without. Just think about what's going on at our last election. Who won the election? Donald Trump, undoubtedly. So how did this happen? That we have a different leader. I don't think it's the one that's in the White House. I think that there's something and somebody or a group of people that have taken over America. We're there. We're in the final stages. The final step has arrived. This past week, white people have now become white supremacists. All of us. They're talking about us. The FBI can come and arrest us without any reason because we are undoubtedly white supremacists. Antifa hasn't been mentioned. The black people that are rioting in the cities, they're not mentioned. It's white people. Well, maybe they don't want us to defend ourselves, to come against what's going on in our world today. Maybe that dictator has already come and it's about to be exposed, and or the barbarians at the borders, only the southern border. Just try to get in the United States from Canada. You can't do it. Well, maybe 2 years from now, Alita, you'll be able to come in legally and get a job and live here. But if you just, I told you, just sneak over the border and come back. They'll let you in. They'll give you a phone. They'll give you a credit card, a hotel to live in. They give you $5,000 or $6,000 a month. Now let's go forward a couple of years. 2015, I gave another sermon. It was called Five Bad Apples. Anybody remember that one? Nobody. Five bad apples. I'm just going to talk about one of the five today. First scripture. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Bad company corrupts good morals. This idea is right at the heart of the wrong values people live by today. Every good tree, Jesus said, bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Sin is deceptive. It's like a worm in an apple. Anybody ever bit into a beautiful, wonderful apple? And you realize that there's a wiggly worm in the half that's still there, that you know where that worm is. It's in your mouth. Anybody besides me? Anybody ever spit that out? Some of you have. Well, there are a few experiences that equal biting into that crisp, flavorful apple, few worse than finding half of the worm wiggling there. Sin will destroy our lives from the inside out, just like the apple worm. You might be able to hide the blemish from the rest of the world, but we are ruined on the inside just the same. Society's rotten apple number one, and I'm not going to tell you the rest of them today. That's maybe it's time to give that sermon again. But number one is Marxist communism. That's what's going on in our world today. The philosophy of atheistic communism has spread mainly by the German writer Karl Marx, who lived in England. He's German. He's living in England, living off of relatives and friends. Doesn't even have a job. His ideas were helped along by the bad working conditions during the Industrial Revolution in many countries. Suffering terrible hardship and abuse, the working man was attracted to Marxist ideas. Eventually, the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, 1917, led to the takeover by Marxist Vladimir Lenin and the creation of a communist empire, the Russian-headed Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, the USSR. After World War II, this imposed communism on the countries of Eastern Europe. In 1949, it became the official political system in China. And then it spread to other nations like North Korea and Vietnam and Venezuela and Cuba. In 1991, communism was watered down and reshaped in the Soviet Union. Who helped that process? What was his name? A president of the United States, Ronald Reagan. Tear down this wall. It has been watered down and reshaped in China to allow for a more open economic economy and society. Although Christians are enslaved in China, working for nothing, as slaves to support the communist regime there. Communism, or more technically, Marxist-Leninist socialism, is always attached to atheism. The rotten apple is based on three false ideas. God does not exist, and mankind is just an evolved animal. If we're just animals, then it's okay to act like one. We will not be held accountable for our actions, not by God, not by anyone. Truth is relative. There's no true moral way to live. Everyone has the right to decide what is right or wrong for themselves. They got the right to decide if they're a boy or a girl, regardless of what their bodies obviously tell them they are. They can be whatever they decide they want to be and take drugs to fix it and change it. Truth is relative. No, truth is not relative. But that's another message. Number three, Marxist is a one-party government should own both the wealth and the ways of creating wealth in a country. It can distribute the wealth however it wants. This means the goal is to have state control over the family, the economy, politics, education, health care, and religion. The institution of Marxism is in direct rebellion against God's commandments, consisting essentially of lies, covetousness, and theft. Inner cities were destroyed in the past 2 years. In democratic controlled states where Marxism is the government. Destroyed the inner cities. Minneapolis this past week demanded $55 million to rebuild the city. They want our money to rebuild their city that they allowed to be destroyed. As history shows, it always leads to terrible atrocities, including mass murder. How many Russians did Lenin kill? We should think about that. If we want Marxism, if it's coming to our country, millions will be killed, and it's going to be us. It's going to be white people, Christians. Solzhenitsyn, a Russian dissident who suffered in the Soviet concentration camps, and later won the Nobel Prize in Literature, he once noted, "If I were asked today to formulate as concisely as possible the main course of the ruinous Soviet Revolution, the cause for the Soviet Revolution that swallowed up 60 million Russian people murdered, I could not put it more accurately than to repeat, men have forgotten God. That's why all of this has happened." He continued, "If I were called upon to identify briefly the principal trait of the entire 20th century, I would repeat once again, men have forgotten God. Within the philosophical system of Marx and Lenin, and at the heart of their psychology, hatred of God is the principal driving force, more fundamental than all their political and economic pretensions." And we're sitting here in church, and they're hating us. the family and the church stand in the way of the complete takeover of our country. I'm quoting the rest of this message pretty much from attorney Matt Staver from the Liberty Council. He wrote an article in 2020 about what's going on in churches in our country. I don't have time to cover all of them. I'm only going to talk first about Virginia, then Kentucky. California is a whole sermon in itself, and we don't want to go there, but here's what he says. Now, it is more critical than ever that we have strong pastors and churches that are not built upon the sand. We have so many churches that have become just mere social clubs. They're not impacting the community, and pastors that are afraid and intimidated by the IRS. I spoke about that last week and the week before. We have the right to say whatever we want to say in this church, and they got nothing to say about it. Leave us alone. We need pastors who are shepherds, strong leaders, and churches built on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. The governor of California is supporting a Marxist revolution and disorder. He is suppressing the church. 80% of the churches in California have been closed over the past 2 years. Closed. Should it be any surprise to us? Because anytime Marxism or totalitarian regimes have tried to overthrow communities and governments and nations around the world, throughout world history, what is the first target? The first target is always the church. They've already infiltrated the family. That's pretty much been destroyed already. Now they're coming for the church. Now there's another common theme. These governors, Democratic governors, not only support the Marxist revolutions and the destruction of the cities and the denigration of our law enforcement police officers, men and women who are out there putting their lives on the line every day. I have two nephews who are police officers in Idaho and Oregon, risking their lives for their communities. At the same time, they're suppressing the church. There's another common factor in Marxist states. Every single one of them are radically pro-abortion. You want to know what I think about abortion? Just read the sign out in front. There are two of them out there, if you haven't noticed. Y'all with me? That should not be surprising. If they don't respect life, your life, they're talking about your life, my life, the life of our children. They're not going to respect your religious freedom. And if they have an agenda to destroy America, the first target is going to be the church. That's the commonality, Matt Staver says. How did they get there? They got there by voting. Some people in the churches voted for these politicians. What Matt Staver at Liberty Council is saying as a Christian attorney is shame on us as Christians for putting these people into power. They're Marxists. They are determined to destroy Christianity. Let's just talk about one little church, just a little church in Virginia, Lighthouse Fellowship Church. They got no property. They got no building. They're renting it. They've got no internet. They've got no way of having a service where they're Zooming. No, they have to meet together, and that's their ministry, coming into the building and helping each other, ministering to each other. Fortunately, I can say from the time Matt Staver wrote this article, that governor is now the former governor of Virginia. Praise God, they voted him out. But here's what was going on. Governor Northam, who's very radical pro-abortion, the one who wanted to repeal all the abortion laws and allow infanticide. A year after a baby is born, a mother could still kill the child legally. That's what he said. That's what he wanted to pass as law. When a baby was aborted, but it was born alive, he said he would have a conversation with the mother. A conversation about what? A conversation about what medical treatment to provide for the child? No. A conversation about whether to give thumbs up to living or down to that baby gasping for air who's born alive and survived an abortion. Let it live or kill it. Let me just remind you, God is pro-life. There is no question about that. That is the first right, the right to life. If you don't have the right to life, you have no other rights. The freedom of religion, the freedom of property, the freedom to have a family, the freedom to work where you want to work, whatever liberty you have, it's all illusory to a corpse. And it means nothing to a dead person. The right to life is the right of all life, all rights. Well, back to Virginia. Virginia is the most radical state in the country with regards to all the issues that are near and dear to us. Whether it's the LGBTQ agenda, whether it's human sexuality, marriage as between a man and a woman, whether it's abortion, whether it's religious freedom, Virginia is an example of where America will go. California is an example. Kentucky's an example. Maine's an example. There are several northern states that are going this direction, but Virginia, quickly. This governor of Virginia signed into law abortion bills on Good Friday. Think about what's going on here. On Good Friday, he signs them deliberately into law. He did it intentionally. He shed blood, so to speak, on Good Friday by liberalizing these abortion laws. On Palm Sunday, he sent officers to this little church, Lighthouse Fellowship Church in Virginia. He said you could only have 10 people total in your church, no matter how big your building was. 10 people. That's all. Now, you could jam the liquor stores plumb full. That spirit is okay, but not the Holy Spirit. You could go to an abortion clinic. You could kill your child because he said that's essential. You could jam Walmart and all of the other stores, no problem. But you can only have 10 people in the church. Even if you have a 10,000 seat sanctuary or a 50 seat sanctuary, 10 people maximum. On Palm Sunday, the church had 16 people come to church, 6 people over the 10 person limit. 2 police officers came and gave the pastor a citation and charged him criminally. He could spend up to a year in prison and have significant fines of $2,500. And then they threatened the rest of the other people, the other 15 who were there that Sunday. If you come back next week for Easter Sunday, we're going to do the same thing to every one of you. We're going to make you criminals. What was the crime? Coming to church. We will criminalize what you are doing because it is criminal conduct to come together with more than 10 people. If you were here last Sunday, you know that's a violation of the First Amendment in the Constitution. They cannot forbid the free exercise of our religion. How about Maryville Baptist Church in Kentucky? With 700 seat auditorium sanctuary, They had a very small number of people actually inside the building. That's not the issue. They had people outside in the parking lot. How many of you came to our parking lot services? We had an FM transmitter. We transmitted there in the rain on Easter Sunday. Well, they had an outside parking lot. They were also doing a broadcast out of the parking lot with speakers so people could hear the message and enjoy the Easter service in their cars safely. This has nothing to do with disease. Nothing. On Thursday, after Easter 2020, the governor of Kentucky actually sent a letter demanding a 14-day quarantine for any person who was sitting in the vehicles in the parking lot with the windows up, listening to their FM transmitter. They weren't allowed to travel outside of the county. While they were in their car with the windows rolled up, the state police came car by car, posting notices of quarantine in each car and taking down the VIN numbers and their license plates. Some people were terminated from their work, from their jobs, because they got the quarantine notice and they showed up for work on Monday. They didn't have COVID symptoms. They just got this bogus citation that they needed to go into quarantine because they're Christians and they had the nerve to attend a church service. They had to take their temperatures at the same time every day and report it to the local health department whether they were sick or not. Liberty Counsel filed suit. They went before an Obama-appointed judge. He denied their request for an emergency restraining order. They appealed to the Federal Court of Appeals, and on the Saturday afternoon of that week, they received a 3-0 decision in favor of having a parking lot service and meeting together for those that wanted to come inside the building. 1 week later, the following Saturday afternoon, they received a second opinion from that same federal court of appeals, 3-0 on the parking lot issue, but also on the in-person church attendance, saying that it was unconstitutional to ban worship in person. Leave us alone. It's unfortunate that we have to go to the legal system in this way to get permission to come into our own church buildings. It is a Marxist revolution because all of these particular ideologies support it. And we see that playing out on behalf of the national and the local elections as well. Regarding LGBTQ, whatever else they've added to that, the most expansive legislation in history is the H.R. 5, the so-called Equality Act, that will shut down our churches, that will make you have a lesbian or a gay pastor. Think about what's going on here. They want, I won't say any more there. That if that act was passed, it was passed by the House of Representatives, which is controlled by one party. It didn't ultimately pass the Senate. This bill would literally allow the government to come after churches and repeal the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, even though the U.S. Supreme Court recently called it a super statute, and that the Supreme Court, would protect religious freedom in our country. The agenda of the opposing side: they don't want to protect religious freedom. They want to indoctrinate our children and us. They want to enforce, they want to coerce, they want to demonize us, they want to marginalize and literally remove the church from the marketplace if we don't toe the line and do what they say. We are moving into a period of time regarding human sexuality and marriage and family and the sanctity of human life where innocent children suffer, where religious freedom will end and even the survival of America will be in question. I encourage you to replace the muzzle, he says, that the world wants to put on you and on me and on us. Replace that muzzle with a megaphone. May God bless you. May God forgive this land. May God heal us. And may God bless America. The Old Testament puts it this way. If. How many of us prayed this week? All of us, I hope and pray that we did. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways, he says, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Now, I've got a sermon on that. I couldn't remember what the year was I gave that. Three sermons that maybe it's time to give again, but we're in troublesome times. Let's be in prayer for our country, for our leaders. Be in prayer for those that are elected. We have an election coming up this coming week, isn't it? Isn't it soon? Tuesday? Be sure and vote. Personally, I know whether I'm voting for somebody with the last name of Bush or not. So you can kind of surmise who I'm voting for in that election. But I have my reasons. I won't say them this morning. Time is up. We are in a battle. We're in a battle for our very lives. If they'll kill babies, they're coming after us. We're next. We're old people. Most of us, we're next. Let's stand up, let's pray. Really, the battle is prayer. It's getting God involved. Let's do that. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we worship you. We realize that our country was founded by those Protestant Christians who wanted a country where they were free to worship their God and have wonderful families and just love one another and work together in harmony and peace. But Father, somehow that nation has been destroyed. It no longer exists. It's different. Father, have mercy on us. Please protect our unborn children. Please protect my unborn grandchildren, should there be any. Father, I pray that my daughters-in-law would never even consider taking the life of an unborn child that they have. May it not be the case with any of our families, any of our grandchildren. Father, thank you for the Supreme Court and the decision that apparently is coming, where the federal law at least will be overturned and then states will make up their own minds. Thank you that we live in Texas, where we are free to have children and they are protected. Father, have mercy on us. Thank you for each one of us. Thank you for helping us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, that you might hear, that you might deliver us from evil, heal our land. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.